Welcome back to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Hey, if you're brand new with us, we're glad that you found us. Every day we're going to dive into Rick's teachings, and today we're continuing the series called How God Meets Your Deepest Needs. Now, in this series, Rick explores how the different Hebrew names of God that are found in the Bible actually illustrate the special ways that God cares for us. His constant presence, His purpose for your life, and His preparation for a place for you in heaven. Okay, let's get started with the final part of a message called Where to Find the Hope You Need.
God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Notice the qualifier of this great promise. It is not for everybody. It says, for those who love God. All things do not work together for good for everybody. In fact, if you are thumbing your nose to God and you're walking out the back door and saying, forget you, God, all things are not working for good in your life. In fact, all things are working for bad in your life. This is not a promise to everybody. It is a promise to those who love God and want to have a relationship with Him and are trying to live according to His purpose. Now, this morning, if you are here and you're facing an impossible situation, the next verse is for you. Jeremiah 29, 11. God says, I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. I will give you hope and a good future. You may think that what God is doing in your life right now is painful and is to no avail, but God says, my plan is good. You just don't see it. You need to trust me. You need to have hope because it's a plan to give you a hope and a future. Now, if you've walked away from God, and you think, well, I was close to God at one time, but I can't get back to Him. Then the next verse is for you. Philippians 1, 6 on the back of your outline. Let's read this verse aloud together. God began doing a good work in you, and I'm sure He will continue it until it is finished when Jesus Christ comes again. God starts something in your life, and what He starts, He finishes. You may say, well, you know, I'm too far beyond hope. No, you're not. You're not. You've walked away from it. When you come back and say, God, I'm going to give you the mess. I'm going to give you the pieces. Give me your peace. Then that which He started, He finishes in your life. And He keeps on keeping on. How do I learn about God's plan for my life? Get into this book in the Bible. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 15, that everything that was written in this book, everything was written for our encouragement and our hope. Now, the more you get into this book, God's Word, the Bible, the more hopeful a person you're going to be. In contrast, the more you watch local news on TV, the more hopeless you're going to be. It just is what you decide to spend your time on. When you focus on the fact that God's presence is watching over me, and God's purpose is working in me, you're going to have hope. But that's not all. There's a third source of hope, and it's this. God's place is waiting for me. God's place is waiting for me. And when things get unbearable in your life, you need to remember that our ultimate hope is heaven. Paul says it like this. He says, if all our hope is just on this earth, we should be pitied. But he said, oh, no, wait a minute. There's more to life than just here and now. We do have an ultimate destination. This is just the warm-up act. And God is preparing a place in heaven. Notice what Jesus said in John chapter 14. He says, don't be troubled. You trust in God. Now trust in me. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I would like for you to circle that little word, place. Because I want you to notice that Jesus Christ says, heaven is a place. It is not a state of mind. It's not some kind of, nirvana nothingness that you just kind of float around bodiless, spiritless, or whatever. It is a real place. And God says, I am going to prepare a place for you. Now, in this series, we're going to come back and we're going to look at what heaven is really like and what you're going to do when you get there. But let me just say today, heaven is a place of relief and release. No fear, no pain, no sorrow, no conflict, no more problems. The Bible says this, He will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no sorrow, nor crying, nor pain. All of that is gone forever. Now, that gives us a reason for hope. You see, the acid test of your faith and your hope is how you handle the funerals in your life. Anybody can have great faith when things are going great. But how do you handle the funerals of life? I have been there around the world and looked in people's eyes who did not have hope and seen the despair in their eyes at the funeral. On the other hand, I have been in many, many funerals of believers where they were actually celebrations. Because when a Christian dies, we rejoice for that person because we know where they're going. Now, we grieve. Oh, yes, we do grieve. But we're not grieving for that person. We're grieving for ourselves because we're going to miss them. Does that make sense? When a Christian dies, we don't grieve for them. But they get to be in a better place. They get to be a place where we're all going eventually. So we don't grieve for them. There are no more problems for them. We grieve for ourselves. And the Bible says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Not once in Scripture does it say, grieve not, or weep not, or sorrow not. It does say, fear not, because it's fear that paralyzes us. But we don't grieve as one who has no hope, because we know where we're going when we die. This morning, I want you to hear an excellent example of this. Would you give her a warm welcome?
I had always envisioned myself standing up here with my husband, sharing how the Lord brought us through some great financial trial. I could imagine us standing behind this podium, holding hands, smiling, taking turns speaking, nudging each other, as we would share how the Lord brought us through. But that was not the story God knew that I would eventually share. As you can see, I'm standing here without my husband beside me because he died suddenly last summer in an underwater accident. In one brief moment, my entire life, my family, my faith, and my future was completely turned upside down. All our dreams together, our goals, and our plans were crushed. So today, I'm here to share how God's love and comfort helped me and my five children find the hope to go on when life seemed hopeless. Richard, my husband of 16 years and only 39 years old, passed away last August 14th in an unusual diving accident in Mexico. The news of Richard's death was first delivered to my husband's employer, who happened to be a member of Saddleback Church. He called the church office, and a group of staff members came over to tell me what had happened and to be with me. I was devastated. Actually, my feelings were beyond devastation. I can't even describe the pain I felt at that moment. Richard had been diving many times before, and I was usually a little anxious about his safety. For this particular trip, though, I had no fears, so I was completely taken by surprise when I received the news. My first reaction was total shock. In the hours and days that followed, God gave me four different gifts to help me make it. First, he gave me the gift of his people. Honestly, I don't know how people survive a tragedy like this without a loving church family and Christian friends. It made the difference between hope and total despair for me. So many people showed up to help me and share God's comfort with me and just be with me. One close friend who had visited with me earlier that day drove back down 2 hours, bringing other Christian friends who are like family to me. Food, money, offers of help, and prayers poured in, especially from members of the Saddleback Gospel Choir, which I refer to as my small group. In fact, we were so overwhelmed with help from our church family that I finally had to beg them not to bring any more food. My refrigerator couldn't hold anymore. Many times in the Bible, God promises to take care of us in situations that seem hopeless if we just trust him. He also promises to open the windows of heaven and pour out so much blessing that I won't have room enough to receive it. During this time, I found those promises were true. God used his people to provide for all my needs. And there wasn't anything that my children or I lacked, nothing. The second gift that God gave me was his presence. This gave me great hope. Even in my deepest grief, I knew that God was there with me. He had not left me. In my many tears, I could feel his love for me. Some of the times I felt closest to God was in my deepest sorrow. And when people prayed for me, I felt as if I was being lifted up on a carpet of prayer. I felt the presence of the Lord well up inside of me. His presence surrounded me like a warm blanket in those dark days. Even my children, who were looking to me for direction, could see the peace of God rise in me, and I could see the peace of God settling on them too. This gave me tremendous joy. God was with us all, comforting us like the father and husband we were now missing. Even though Richard was no longer with us, we were not alone. A third gift that God gave me that gave me hope was the reassurance of His plan for my life. Of course, I had many questions for God. I wanted desperately to know how a man who was so cautious about the details and dangers of free diving could die in this manner. How could God let this happen to such a responsible family man? We had 5 children to raise. How could God allow my husband to be taken? I needed to know. So I got out my Bible and asked God to lead me to a scripture to explain to me what had happened. The Bible says, "Ask and it shall be given." And that night, God led me to read Philippians chapter 1. In verse 12, Paul explains how God was able to use even the difficulties and trials he went through to fulfill God's purpose and plan for Paul. As Pastor Rick has said many times, God specialized in bringing good out of bad and turning tragedies into testimonies. As I read that chapter, God spoke to me personally through Scripture. I realized that God was not finished with His plan for my life and that He would never leave me nor forsake me. Finally, the fourth gift from God that gave me hope to keep going was the promise of heaven. Losing Richard has been a terribly painful experience. But it has not been a hopeless one, because I know I will get to see him again one day in heaven. You see, my husband Richard had put his faith in Jesus, and God has promised that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Heaven is real, and Richard is there right now. That truth has freed me from much pain. Hearing the account of what actually happened to Richard would have been far too much for me to bear without the insight God gave me through His Word. God impressed on me that Richard was not alone in the water that day. God met him there and took him home to heaven. The hope of heaven has given me hope to go on living down here. Now I would like to end this testimony with, "And we all lived happily ever after with no problems." But my children would ask me why I lied to you. A hope-filled life is not a problem-free life or a grief-free life. Intense grief still comes in waves for each one of our family members. Little things remind me of what I miss about Richard. Any bright, sunny day reminds me of his love for our family and for me. It's not always fun to plan things alone or to experience life alone. But I do know this, even in my lonely times, I am not alone. Since Richard's death, I've struggled to find the balance between patient understanding and firm discipline where my kids are concerned. It's not easy raising kids alone, with 3 of them being teenagers. But my hope is in the promise of Isaiah 54:5, which says, "For your maker is your husband, the Lord Almighty is his name." And in Psalm 68:5, that God will be a father to the fatherless. These 2 promises of God have kept me going. A friend recently asked, "So what's next for you?" I can honestly say that I don't know. I just keep putting one foot in front of the other, step by step, trusting God to direct my life. I try to be open to His leading and obedient to whatever He asks me to do. I do know that God has a plan for my life as well as for my children's lives. And He has given us enough hope for tomorrow. In closing, it's my sincere desire that my story gives you hope in the midst of your trials. I want to encourage you as I've been encouraged by God. God says that to whom much is given, much is required. God has given me much peace, hope, and grace. And I pray that through my story, you will acknowledge the grace of God in your life. With Jesus Christ in your life, there's always a reason for hope. Thank you.
Now, there's no way you can just get that kind of hope from some pop psychology group. No book, no tape, no positive affirmation is going to make you competent to handle that kind of crisis. To lose your husband instantly and be left with five kids, that's no minor inconvenience, is it? This is a major blow. And yet you just heard a great example of a woman of deep hope. Where does that come from? There's only one place you can get that: a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you get that kind of relationship with you, you know that God is watching over you, His purpose is working in you, His place is waiting for you, and you have hope. Now, if you are feeling hopeless this morning about something in your life, you have forgotten how much God cares about you. Listen to what He says. The Bible says in Isaiah 46, "Listen, I have upheld you since you were conceived, and I have taken care of you from your birth. Even when you are old, I will be the same. Even when your hair is turned gray, I will take care of you. I made you, and I will take care of you. I will carry you and save you. Can you compare me to anyone? No one is equal to me or like me." What a God. What a God we have. Now, maybe you have felt trapped in a hopeless marriage. I mean, it's on the rocks, and you've tried anything and everything, and it's going nowhere fast. Or maybe you felt trapped in a hopeless career, and you've bounced from job to job to job, and you just haven't found where you fit yet. Or maybe you're stuck in a hopeless health problem, and you've been to all the doctors, and you've tried all the cures, but nobody's helped you. Or maybe you've got a hopeless situation with a child. Or maybe you've got a hopeless situation with your finances, and you're not getting out of debt, you're getting deeper in debt month after month. Maybe you're a single parent like Dee, and there are those days you feel powerless and hopeless to cope. What do? You give it to Jesus Christ. That's what you do. And when you do, you will have a rebirth of living hope in your heart. Look at this next verse. "In God's great mercy, He has called us to be born again into a living hope because Jesus Christ rose from the dead." Born again into living hope. You will have a rebirth of hope in your life. You will go from no hope to new hope instantly. If God can raise Jesus from the dead, He can raise a dead marriage. He can raise a dead career. He can raise a dead hope, a dead dream. There is hope. Did you read this week in the news about the American pilot who was shot down over Kosovo? As he crouched in a shallow culvert deep in Serb territory, one of the worst moments for the stealth fighter pilot downed over Yugoslavia came when the barking search dogs drew within 30 feet of his hiding place. The U.S. pilot reached for a folded American flag that he had tucked inside his flight suit next to his skin, and he prayed a silent prayer. "That helped me to not let go of hope," he said in an interview released by the Air Force News. "Hope gives you strength, and hope gave me endurance." Now, if you've just been barely hanging on, you need to do two or three things. First, you need to remember the presence of God. Remember God's presence, that He is always with you, that you will never be without Him. You may not feel it, but He is there. He is aware. He cares. He can help. Jehovah Shema, I am the God who is always there. You remember God's presence. You will never go through anything alone. And then number two, you need to receive from God's people, just like Dee did. She let other people support her. That's why you need a church family. That's why you need to be in a small group. That's why you need to be more than just a spectator. You need to be a participator. Dee says, "When I was in the crisis, my church family stood with me." Who's going to stand with you? Do you know anybody? Do you have any relationships? Who do you stand with when they're going through tough times? That's why you need a church home. You need a family who will be there when the crisis comes on and the heat is there, so you can receive from God's people, and you can remember God's presence. And then you can rely on God's promise. Now, there are a lot of things in life that are uncertain. But these three things you can count on. They are certainties of life that no matter what happens, God's presence will always be watching over me. God's purpose will always be working in me. And God's place is always waiting for me. And when I have hope, what happens? Last verse on your outline. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and they will not be faint. So no situation is hopeless. Let's bow our heads. Now, God brought some of you here today so he could say this to you. Don't give up. Don't do it. Don't give in to discouragement or despair. Don't give up. Look up. Don't despair. Turn to prayer. Don't give up. Don't give out. Give over. Give over to God. Father, I'm sure that there are people here today who are feeling pretty beat up by the circumstances of life, and they may be feeling hopeless. And I know that there are others here today who are discouraged or depressed by events that have happened just in the last week or two. And I know that there are some who've been in the pit of despair, and they've even considered taking their life because of the pain. Thank you so much for bringing these people here today. Jesus Christ, I know that you love them very much, and I pray that in this moment they will turn it all over to you so that they can begin a new life of living hope. Now, why don't you pray? God knows your thoughts. He knows what you're thinking right now. So just pray this in your mind, and he'll hear you. Say, "Dear God," just say that, "Dear God, you know exactly how I've been feeling. You've seen the confusion and the sadness in my soul. And today I want to turn it all over to you. You alone are my hope. Please help me to be more aware that you are always with me and that you're always watching over me. I want to thank you for working in my life, even when I didn't know it, even when I didn't understand it, even when I didn't feel it. Even in the middle of all my pain and problems, I thank you for your purpose. And I want to get to know you, and I want to follow your purpose for my life. So today, Jesus Christ, as much as I know how, I open up my life to you. I want to build a relationship with you so that when I die, I can be with you. And I want to put my trust in the hope of heaven. In your name I pray. Amen.
Did you just pray with Pastor Rick to accept Jesus? Well, if you did, congratulations. And if you email Rick at PastorRick.com and let us know that you prayed that prayer, we're going to send you some free materials to help you on your spiritual journey. And now Rick's going to tell you about today's offer.
You know, I've been a pastor for over 3 decades, and I've been teaching the Word of God for over 4 decades. And over all that time, I couldn't count the number of people that I've talked to, and the number one questions that people ask, they've come to me, they come back over and over and over again. I've noticed that people tend to ask the same questions. All of these common questions have common solutions, and they're all found in God's Word. So I sat down, and I took the most common questions that I've been asked over 45 years in ministry, and I began to answer them according to scriptures. And I wrote a little book called God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions. It provides simple, straightforward answers that you can apply right away. In fact, this will get you the answers to probably questions you're asking yourself right now. You say, well, what are those questions? Well, let me just give you a few of them. How do I cope with stress? Have you ever asked that one? How do I rebound from a failure? Have you ever asked that one? How can I be more confident in the crisis that I'm going through? How do I live above average? Why is this happening to me? How can I overcome loneliness? And how do I change the things that I want to change in my life? Well, I answer those questions in this book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions. You'll discover the simple truths that God has given to us from His Word. And it's just my way of saying thank you for supporting Daily Hope with your financial gifts. You know, we're a listener-supported ministry. We don't have any giant secret donors that fund this. I don't do this for a salary. We do this for free as a ministry to you and as a ministry of spreading the Word of God around the world. Thanks for listening today. Join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can just text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. And thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope really helps us share the hope of Christ with people all over the world. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.